Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello? We're getting set up.
Hello.
We're getting there. I don't know how I feel about the song, but this epic tale we're about to tell.
Of a helicopter flying through the rain.
Off the rails with Blummel. Friday, August 26th. Almost in the ninth month of the year.
Of our Lord.
Of the Lord, our Savior, Psalm 9:1-4, DD 2:14.
Yes.
My favorite verse from the Bible.
I love DDT.
Welcome to the program. Wow, what an incredible interview with Alex Stein. Did you know who this guy was before? Because he somehow missed my radar, which I've been a little bit off Instagram, a lot off Instagram, so maybe that's why, but...
So I've heard his name in the circles, because I saw that he was at the Turning Point USA thing.
Okay.
I kind of looked into that, like,
one
as
of the
it was going on.
The listed, like, not keynote speakers, but one of the people that were featured there.
Actually, so he took some video outside, like, not harassing the protesters, but he was with, like, getting in the mix. And so I saw video of that, and then when Lummy started talking about having him on, I did some more research, as you kids say.
Yeah. I did look into a little bit the controversy with Dave Portnoy, and because I'm a big Portnoy fan. I like Dave Portnoy. I know you don't really care for him too much.
Yeah, when Alex said it was a work, I was kind of disappointed because I don't like Dave Portnoy. I can't stand him.
Yeah, I do like Dave Portnoy. I like what he's done with Barstool. I like the fact that he has FU money, that he gets himself in hot water, and he does basically the opposite of what most PR managers would tell you to do, which is just kind of lay low. But he gets in front of it, and he goes, no, fuck that. Mm-hmm. And I like people who are contrarians. That's just something, whether I agree with them or not, like... I was a big Milo Yiannopoulos fan. Where he is now, I don't know.
I can assume some places he might be.
Right. A bathhouse, perhaps.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Getting a monkeypox vaccine. But if you don't know who Milo is, he was pretty hot about, 5 years ago or something? When Berkeley went up in flames because of him, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to his career. I knew who he was because I was kind of dipping my toe into the red pill circles, into the not conservatism, but I don't want to say stepping away from the left because I never was like fully in it, but really kind of becoming attracted to the other side because for a point in time in my life, there was nothing more punk rock I could do than say that I was either A, voting for Trump, or B, was a conservative. Like, it really swung back the other way, where back in the 60s and 70s, being a liberal was like avant-garde, cutting edge. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm cool. I smoke weed. I hang out with black people, whatever. And then it like came full circle where being left wasn't cool anymore. And the most punk rock thing you could do was be like, yeah, I'm a conservative. But be like a quiet, confident one, not one that's like QAnon, Four Teeth, Alabama style. Like someone who is just someone you wouldn't expect to be conservative.
Because a lot of the schools have turned, I guess, left wing.
Like universities?
Hard, yeah. And
yeah.
I know they have been.
They always have been, yeah.
Not always, but for quite a while.
I feel like academics always have been, and I kind of want to look into the origin of that, because I feel like I either saw it on Rogan or something, where it's like, why?
Well, if Rogan said it, then we know it's true.
No. I mean, he had like a guest on, and they were discussing why it is the case that universities and academics hang to the left. They're indoctrinating students who then grow up, and then you have a whole generation of people that think a certain way, but it's all the brainchild of a few. Thought leaders at these universities, because you think about it, I know you didn't go to a big university or university at all because you're smart, but for me, it really wasn't an option coming from a Jewish home. Both my parents are college educated. Dad has a master's. Mom had a bachelor's from UCLA. So it wasn't a matter of, you know, if you're going to college. That was not, it was which college will you be selecting? Which university will you be attending? So I went to the University of Casual Sex and Beer and didn't do any of that stuff. No beer, no sex. But University of Santa Barbara is where I went. And you would have these massive classes where, I mean, sometimes you'd have, you know, 200, 300 kids in a class, and that was like a medium-sized class. And then sometimes you'd have like a discussion group where you'd meet with like a graduate student, and there'd be maybe 30 to 40 of you, which should be a normal-sized class, but that was the discussion group. Well, there were some courses that I took where, I mean, you're looking at a hall that would hold, you know, a couple thousand people, and so you'd have maybe 800 classmates in one class. So you have one teacher can be spewing whatever the fuck they want to spew, and you got 800 people there listening to them for 3 hours at a time once a week, and you get enough of those courses and classes in, you can really do a lot of, I don't want to say necessarily damage, but you have a lot of influence over these people. And I also feel like, obviously, you're younger, you don't know as much. If your parent or something like that is liberal, which a lot of them were because, hello, I'm from California, then they send you to a liberal school. Then you just think that everybody thinks like you. And if they don't, then they are exactly what the media has labeled them, the racist, this, that, right, and the other. Now, when I was going to school, I really wasn't involved in politics. I really didn't get involved in politics at all. I mean, not as a politician, but in terms of my interest, until I was probably in my mid-20s. So as a college student, I wasn't really involved in much politically, but, and it was left, don't get me wrong, but it was nothing near the level that has emerged as of late. I was lucky because the circles that I rolled around in, the evolutionary psychology lab that I worked in, everyone was a libertarian. And I remember asking one of the professors / grads, he was like an associate professor and like postdoctoral student, but teacher. His name was Aaron Sell, and he did a lot of work with anger, which was interesting. And I took a couple classes from him, and he was funny, and he fucking hated Hillary Clinton. And he was the only person that would just shit on the left. This is back in 07, 08. And I remember we kind of bonded because he was making some jokes, and I had some discussion with him. And I'm like, dude, have you heard of Louis C.K.? This is like 06, 07. He's like, no. I'm like, you need to check out this guy, Louis C.K. You're going to fucking love him. And he did, and he was like the biggest Louis fan. And so years later, he'd message me. He's like, oh, I heard Louis. We've since lost touch, but at the time, it was fun. And he was the only professor that I had that was openly against the left. But he said he wasn't a conservative, and he told me that he was, you know, a libertarian. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, like, well, why is it that everybody in like evolutionary psychology just finds their way to becoming a libertarian? And I can't remember the exact answer, but it's like you're a science-oriented person. You understand that there is some sort of genetic determinism, but you're also open to the fact, and also, but also you don't believe in God because
That's
you believe in science.
Say. So. Yep.
You have this like appreciation for science, which the left has lost, but you're also an atheist heathen. So people think that you're a commie.
Yeah.
So when you combine those two things together, you actually, he's like, there's literally no other choice but to be a libertarian.
For the most part, libertarians, again, for the most part, because, you know, everyone's individual and yada yada, like they lean right, but most of them are not religious.
Correct.
Mean that they don't have to be atheist or agnostic. They're just not religious.
Right.
They can still be a Christian or they can still be whatever.
But they're secular.
They're
secularly minded.
Yeah.
Yeah. That certainly was the case. And it's not even so much. It's weird because you would think that liberals is like associated with liberty, which is what libertarianism is all about.
Right.
So it's kind of confusing because you don't really hold right-wing ideals. You hold like liberty at the top and freedom mm-hmm. at the top, mm-hmm. and you should be able to do whatever you want. So if you talk to somebody who's a libertarian about, say, like gay marriage, they're probably not going to tell you, oh, I love gays and love is love and this and that. What they're going to tell you why they think that gay marriage is okay is because it's none of the government's business what you're doing.
Right.
Not infringing on anybody else's rights, so it doesn't concern you. It's not your business, so fucking leave it alone. That's what they would tell you. And I liked that because you don't have to have this, like, compassion for everything and everyone. You would go, it's literally none of my business. It's fucking none of your business. Mm-hmm. Continue on. And if you kind of have that mindset, I really think that that mindset is fantastic for personal success because you stop concerning yourself with what everybody else is doing.
Right.
And you just focus on what the fuck you're doing. And if you encounter a roadblock because somebody else is telling you what you can and cannot do, that's when you have to go, hey, go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Yeah, when they tell you, you can't park here.
Yeah.
And I tell them, go fuck yourself.
Yes. I'm very attracted to that. About you, how disagreeable and how curmudgeonly you are. Honestly, it's one of my favorite things about you.
What, really?
Yes, because that it complements me in a sense because I'm not like that at all.
Yeah,
I have a weird fear of. It's not even of authority because, like. I'm not that afraid. I'm like, if I know my rights and I feel confident in what I'm saying, I'm not afraid of authority. Like, mm-hmm. I've said things against Dan about medical shit, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, upsetting a stranger or confronting a stranger, that terrifies me. Unless I'm clearly in the right and I'm getting completely, like,
clearly in the right, so I don't mind.
I understand, but like...
Even if I'm not.
When you can just go to Publix and tell a manager that, you know, you aren't doing fucking jack shit to his face, you can see the difference in personalities where you were like... What was the exact line you said to Jim or whatever the fuck we called him? You said, hey, they're really backed up. You're just fucking standing around.
Doing nothing.
You're fucking... He did use the word fuck, and I remember this because that's when I started running away. Literally, running away. And then Blitz was like, yeah, and then he said this. I go, I couldn't hear because I was all the way down the shampoo aisle.
No, I said, you know, you're just standing here doing nothing. And he, like, smiled at me. And I said, I don't think it's fucking funny.
Yeah, he said, you did say the word fuck. And that's exactly
what
I took
off. But not at first. I didn't open up with fuck.
No.
I said it after he smirked at me.
Yeah, apparently there was a smirk, at which point I had already quickened my pace because I was like, I don't want to stand around for this. And then as soon as I heard the fuck, that's when I started trotting. I was like, I don't want to be around for this. I hate confrontation with especially like strangers, and maybe it's because like I don't know what they're capable of, or I just feel like it's uncomfortable. Like I'm getting better at confronting people I know with issues and go, hey, we gotta have a sit down, we gotta communicate.
Yeah, you have no problem with that.
Yes, I have no problem with that. That's fine. I'll explain myself and communicate, but you don't communicate like that with strangers. It's usually just a few, you know, a jabs here, a jab there, and then you're on World Star hitting each whatever. So, and I feel like those escalate a lot more quickly.
Oh yeah,
because you don't give a fuck about Jim the manager at Publix.
No.
You know, you may have a little bit more compassion for a friend or a spouse or something like that, but when you see a stranger, hey, fuck you! Like, Blitz does that shit all the time. Not all the time, but...
I did it the other day.
Why yes.
That was where my camera just went out.
Yes. Whatever happened with that chopper?
Oh, so it wasn't a big deal, but you didn't let me tell the story the other day at night. Well, you forgot.
I forgot. I fell asleep.
It was no big deal, but, you know... Publix now has a bunch of self-checkout lanes. So, and they're like right next to each other. There's like six in the area of like two normal lanes. So I go up and this guy had his cart like in front of, he was checking out on one and had his cart like in front of the one I wanted to use. So I like pushed his cart out of the way and he still like kind of had it in the way. So I'm like leaning over. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like just some old guy. Like,
he's old, right?
Older. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't know what he's doing and whatever. Well, so I kind of had my cart, like, because I couldn't put it up where it's supposed to be because he had his there. So mine was, like, kind of in the middle there. He got done checking out. I'm still, you know, scanning shit. And he goes to walk away, and he grabs my cart, moves it, and I was like, oh, I said, it's okay for you to put your cart here and block everyone, but my cart's in the way. It's a big deal where you have to move it. And he was like,
how old is this guy?
Maybe, like, 60.
Okay.
But.
And then what happened?
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
But, like, I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like, you're going to have your cart in the way. And I didn't really care. Like, I moved it a little bit, but I could have fucking, like, really just shoved it out of the fucking way.
Yeah.
But then he goes to leave, and I was like, oh, I said, it's okay for you to have your fucking cart in the way, but mine's out here a little bit because of you, and it's an issue.
Yeah. See, that's not
my
MO.
So I pushed it back and kind of blocked him in for a little bit.
Okay. So I really like that about you. I do, even though it frightens me, and it was funny because for the rest of the day after the Publix incident with the manager, you know, I was just like, yeah, you're the best. I was all like pretending to be afraid of you. Yeah. And I like that. And I think most women do like that. This is what most women like. They like assertive, disagreeable men, but not when it comes to them. They like it when men are disagreeable and not treat everybody else like shit. But, you know, they go against the grain. They do what they think is right. They're not, you know, persuaded by social decorum and etiquette. They just say whatever the fuck they want
to
say.
I try to. I'm like, I know that, like, you know, I get the rap of, like, being a dick, blah, blah, blah. But, like, for the most part, like, to strangers, like, I try to be super nice and helpful.
No, you are. No, you certainly are. But if anybody sort of either undermines you or they are disrespectful in any way, you are more than happy to, you know, give them the good news.
Oh yeah,
as we say,
no problem.
Yeah, you have no issues with that, you know. And also, being in a managerial role yourself, you have to often deliver bad news to people that in the past, you know, have worked here, or you have to confront people and tell them, you know, hey, this isn't going well. And you go, well, you know, I'm not looking forward to it, but whatever, I don't care. You always go, I don't care, I'll do it, I don't care. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I would have an issue with that. But I like the fact that I don't even want to say compliments, but it's just I admire that quality in you, because I'm so not like that, and I can't pull that shit off at all. Like, I just run away.
Right.
The most aggressive thing I do, which is really being passive aggressive, is if I hold the door open for someone and they don't say anything, I'll just be like, "Fit, you're welcome."
Oh, I
like,
love doing that.
But that's pretty much the extent of how far I will go. Nothing more than that. 81390 Bubba. But again, I do like that about you. I've become more confrontational as I've gotten older. I really did inherit that from my mother. My mother did not like to fucking stir shit up. Okay. Dad did. Dad didn't give a fuck. Dad's calmed down
a lot. I can't imagine your dad.
Oh man, I have a vivid memory, and my dad's probably listening right now, so he could fill in the details. But
oh, you mean Philip PK Hummelstein?
Yes, he's sponsoring the Bubba Chicken Sandwich reviews and more. Anything drive through?
He's got, like, you know, 12 different names now.
Yes, I know. My dad loves them all, and will respond to all of them. I have a very vivid memory of my dad almost beating the shit out of someone at a Chinese restaurant. Like, there was a moment where I was like, this isn't good. I must have been about 6 or 7. something got crazy. And then I remember there was another incident where, because my mom owned a dance studio, we were checking out some, it was like a country club, Elks club. What do you call like an Elks club? Is that
a lodge? Elks Lodge, maybe?
Yeah, like, but what is that brand? Like a clubhouse of, not veterans, but is it? It's just
Like a VF, was it like a VFW maybe?
Yeah,
a hall, VFW hall?
Something like that. And I remember we're checking this place out, this venue, because we're going to do like some fucking dance performance. And it's me and my sister, and we had donuts. And I remember vividly eating the donuts. And the janitor, or the guy that was working it there, was giving my dad some grief. And I thought it was going to get violent. Like, it was bad. Because my dad was getting up in his grill. And I remember just being afraid and eating a donut. Like, I remember seeing that and being afraid, but not that afraid that it didn't lose my appetite. Because I remember I was kept eating the donut.
Okay.
Watching, like, what the fuck is going to happen? And when my dad got angry, like, it was frightening. Like, not that he would beat the shit out of us, but, you know, my dad circa, like, 1995, when he was, how old is he now? Jeez, in his 30s, late 30s. I mean, he was crazy. He was, you know, out of two armies. And when he came to the States from Israel, the way Israelis act was a lot different than the way Americans act. Like, my dad was very confused at the fact when he would go, like, jogging in the morning with my mom, and people would be jogging on the same sidewalk, and they'd go, "Hello." It's like, who the fuck? And my dad'd be like, "Who the fuck is that?" Like, to my mom, "You know him? How do you know him?"
Right.
She's like, "No, he's just..."
Well, I've said it here before.
Nice.
I think I've told you, like, I dated a girl from Poland.
Yeah, but you don't talk to people you don't know.
And she's like, "What are you doing?" And like, and she'd been here long enough where, like, she got it, but, like, still, she's like, "It's still amazing that you just talk to people you don't know." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You don't look at somebody, you don't wave at somebody." She's like, "No eye contact, you don't say hello, you, like, you just don't, if you don't know who they are, leave them alone."
Right. You know, you imagine these American people, "Good morning." And my dad's like, you know, saying to my mom, "Did you fuck all these guys? How do they know you?"
Right.
He's like, "We don't know them. They're American and we're nice." And my dad's like, "Fuck that." So there was a little bit of a cultural shock when my dad got to the States. He's been here longer than he's been anywhere else. I was thinking about that yesterday. Like, you remember we went to my dad's cousin's house in Sarasota, and it's like we opened up an atlas. Maybe you guys can remember what a map is back in the day, like an actual map.
I love maps.
They're very cool. So my dad's cousin gets the World Atlas out, and we're looking at South Africa because that's where my dad and, you know, his cousin are from. And he's like pointing to this like little town, some, you know, where my dad was born, or where his name's Selwyn, where Selwyn was born. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's so crazy to think that my father was like born in this small town in the middle of South Africa and found his way to Israel and met my mom and then found his way to the States. Now, again, you could draw these lines anywhere, you know. I could have ended up in Japan, and it's, you know, the same thing. Like, oh, that's so crazy that it's like, it's not really, because something had to happen, if that makes sense. Like, there had to be an outcome. The fact that it was what happened is, like, not that big. So, for example, like, a lot of people say, you know, when you're talking about conception, there was, like, 400 trillion variations of who you could be given the mom's egg and the dad's sperm, but it happened to be you, and how incredible of a miracle that is. And it is, but also something had to happen. Someone had to win the lotto. The fact that it was you is incredible, but somebody wins the lotto at some point. And so, you know, it's a small probability that you will be you, but at the end of the day, someone has to win the lotto, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
813-90-BUBBA. So,
what's up, Ty J?
Oh, it's Ty J? What's up, Ty J?
He's in chat. Saying that his wife does all the talking and he does all the chin checking.
Oh, nice. That's good team. That's good teamwork. That's kind of like what we have.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Yippee Yo Brando, 1,000 bits.
Fuck
a little bit ago,
there was an incident in Daytona where you got very aggressive. I'm not saying it wasn't warranted.
I'm trying to think. I don't even remember when.
We were in the parking lot, and someone cut you off. And I was like, oh, shit, that was not good on their part. And here's the thing. It was like a small parking lot. So you're just like fucking or like right up on them. And I thought you were going to get out of the car and beat his ass. And I was going to be like, honey, bring your gun.
I had it on
me.
But
I immediately, when that happened, I like took the seat, rolled it back, and just, I don't even believe in God, but I started praying to Jesus. I was like, Jesus Christ, let me be okay. Oh, Lord.
You hate to see what I do when you're not in the car because that was nothing.
Holy shit.
I wasn't even close to that guy's bumper. There was at least 3 inches.
Oh, my God. I honestly thought you were going to get out and exchange some words or hands.
It's not worth that.
No, but I don't. Here's the thing is like people like to say that women are very emotional. And we are. But here's the thing. Men are probably just as emotional as we are, but it's just a different emotion. So you know what I'm saying? So when we think about emotional, we think of someone who's sensitive or gets upset easily or, you know, makes a mountain out of a molehill. Sure. But when it comes to male psychology, there's anger, there's testosterone, there's aggression. So for me, I'd be like, oh, that guy cut me off. That beep, beep, not nice. But you will fucking go up there. What's up, motherfucker? So, you are very emotional.
How am I going to go?
I don't know.
Chit chit is a shotgun. Shotguns don't go. Brrr.
Listen, buddy. I have limited knowledge of guns, okay? So they all make the same sound and they all go, say hello to my little friend. That's how I imagine things happen.
The AA-12 did, but I don't own an AA-12.
Right. So, you know, although I am certainly more emotional when it comes to, you know, getting upset or being oversensitive or something like that, you know, you and most men are more emotional when it comes to escalation of violence. So I typically avoid that, and I think that's pretty female typical, but you are not afraid and you will dive right in.
Yeah, but like I won't get out of my car. I mean,
Here's the thing. When you're like fucking drunk on an emotion because you're not thinking straight, I don't know what the fuck you're capable of. And now, what if he gets out of his car?
Oh, then I'm getting out.
Exactly.
But
do you understand how this could escalate quickly?
I'm not going to just get. Actually, I probably wouldn't just for some legal reasons. I wouldn't get out. I definitely wouldn't be the first to get out.
Okay. But you wouldn't go out of your way to avoid it if he got out of his car.
I still wouldn't get out of the car.
Okay. Because you know what I'm going to do in that situation? I'm gonna do what I do best.
Pee your pants?
Pee my pants and run.
Oh.
And fart.
Oh.
And pee.
The door
open
and you hear...
Yeah, and just fucking run. That's what I know how to do. A getaway from conflict is run. I'm not going to be like, you won't see me next to you. Babe, stop. You won't see me next to you being like, hey, get away from my man.
No, hey, that's fine.
Goodbye. What good am I to you? Zero. I don't have a gun. I obviously can't fight a man.
Bitch,
I'm leaving.
Jiu-jitsu and she's running away.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu doesn't really help when the other person has a fucking gun, idiot.
Oh, well.
I don't know what that guy's carrying. Oh, what am I going to do, an armbar on you? Oh, you just shot me in the fucking face.
Well, whatever. Guns shoot for a long distance, so running won't do any good.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm pulling a Lummy. I'm hiding behind cars, calling 911. That's how I deal with that situation. That's not for me.
I think something happened. Like what? Gunshots and lots of good. There's blood everywhere.
Yeah. It's not going to be good. Not going to be good for anyone. 813-90-BUBBA.
But I don't go looking for confrontations, though.
No, you don't. But you don't go out of your way to avoid them when they're presented to you. Which, again, I like, but it frightens
me. If I'm in the wrong, like if it's a traffic situation and like I'm in the wrong, like I'll be like, hey, I'm sorry. Like I'm not trying to, like, I don't go, well, fuck you. Like, I don't care that I cut you off.
Sure. Right, but still, it's just the...
But is it like if that guy in Daytona that like was just a dick, like if he'd have been like, oh, sorry, I don't want, you know, like whatever, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool, whatever, like, thank you, whatever.
Right.
I don't care.
Right. But him, much like you, with a male brain, probably like, well, he thinks he's in the right. So he's like,
well,
fuck
he clearly
you.
Wasn't.
Well, everybody always thinks that they're right to some degree. They think that
but
they're...
But the difference is I am.
Of course. 813-90-BUBBA. Let's take a phone call. Hello, who's this?
This is Frank Saladino in Jacksonville, Florida.
What's up, Frank?
What's up, Anna and Blitz? How are y'all?
Close enough. How's it
Fantastic.
Going?
Fantastic.
Thank you for taking my call. I do wish, Blitz, we could have some more gun talk on here from time to time.
Well,
I'm doing the best I can, sir.
I just had a story about my dad when I was little.
Yeah, go ahead.
It had to be around 1986 because he bought a brand new when the Monte Carlo Super Sports came out.
Yeah.
And he's a firefighter, so he was worked 24, all 48. So he had the car about 3 to 4 weeks and had an oil leak. So he took it back. He dropped it off on his way to the fire station one morning. It sat there for 3 or 4 days. And the next day, his work day, he had to pick me up. We got a ride, and we rode by there to check on his car, and the car was still parked in the same spot.
Yeah.
It hadn't moved. And he busted in the office, and I'm following him like, what's going on? And the lady said, can I help you? And my dad was furious, flaming. And she said, you can't go in there right now. It was the sales manager. And my dad basically just scoffed her off, busted through the door, and the guy was, it was like you see in the movies, the guy's kicked back in his leather chair with his feet on his desk.
Yeah.
And my dad shut the keys. This key skipped off the desk right to the guy's chest and said, you can keep your effing car now. And I was just, my mouth was just on the floor, and I was like, oh, my God. He just looked at me and said, let's go. And
yeah.
I just followed him, and we went off.
Well, that's crazy. Where are you from, sir, again?
You live in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida.
But you were born and raised?
Born and raised, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that people from Jacksonville spoke the way you spoke, so I thought maybe you're from, like, Jackson, Mississippi or something.
Yeah, and I'm Sicilian redneck, so if you saw me, you wouldn't think I talked this way either. So.
Oh, nice. I like those surprises. Or you just don't expect
it. Anyway, thank you, guys. Love all y'all. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Sicilian Redneck.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. We do have the Tampa Bay Fit Expo this weekend, which is my favorite expo. Really the only expo where I feel confident knowing about the products, the services, and basically just the overall gist of the convention.
I can't wait to do what you did at the Hemp Expo.
Which is what? Just talk to
me. Can you tell me about protein?
Oh. Well, I was really doing that for free samples. You know that, right?
Were you?
Yes. Of course. Because when you're nice and you interact with them and then they're like, oh, I'm just taking extra thrust. You're like, okay, great. I was also in a very chatty mood that day, which was pretty unusual. I hadn't spoken on a microphone in about 12 hours, so I was feeling a little bit chatty.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Feeling a little bit chatty. But this is like, I don't know a lot about pretty much anything. The sort of things that interest me do not interest anybody else on the show. So I'm aware of that. And, you know, because a lot of times we talk about things like cars, we talk about racing, sports, guns. Exactly. Like, and I understand the importance of these things. But they just don't really capture my attention. I find them to just be dull conversations.
I gotcha.
But it just doesn't interest. I'm trying. I felt the same way when I worked at Horn Blasters initially, where I was like, oh my God, like, why would anyone want to sound like a fucking diesel locomotive? This is so obnoxious. Why are people caring about this? And it took me about 3 months for me to change my tune and go, okay, Anna, like, if you're going to work here somewhat long term, and it was 4 years, so a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
And for you to actually succeed at the job, you're going to have to force yourself to learn. And when you're trying to force knowledge into your brain that you don't want to learn, it's very hard to remember things.
If there's something that you're not interested in, learning about it is the worst.
It's horrible,
ever.
Which is why you could talk about cars and sports all day. I'm not retaining anything. Mm-hmm. But when it's like of someone's birthday, like, I'm just like, oh, I remember that. Oh, a history fact, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, like, the discrepancy between my ability to absorb information that I actually want to learn versus information that just goes in one ear and out the other. So I convinced myself, I said, listen, we got to stop making it about horns and cars and start making it about things I like science. So when I kind of changed my perspective from it being about, you know, cars and automobiles and redneck shit, I was like, this is a science project, which it is, And let's look at it from a more cerebral point of view instead of, you know, scoffing at these people, at the clientele, the people that are purchasing these horns, because they were, you know, oftentimes, I'm not going to give any sort of stereotypes, but what you would expect from people that, you know, drive around in F-150s, Ginny Springs, blasting country music, and, you know, an
IQ. A bunch of Sicilian rednecks?
Precisely. So I decided to kind of change my tune. At that point, everything just came flooding in, and I was able to recall information and metrics about compressors, tanks, fittings, like all these things. Just I was able to to learn and recall and remember because I stopped resisting, and I'm like, stop looking at it like something that you assume you're not going to be interested in, and start looking at it as something. Like in my head, I'm like, I feel like I'm a fucking mechanic, and I'm like, I don't want to be a mechanic,
right?
But then if you start looking at it like I'm a scientist. Then all of a sudden I was like, oh, white coat, like we got the goggles on, and
clipboard.
Clipboard, right, exactly. And everybody knows I like to analyze people and things like that. So when I changed my perspective on it, I was able to really absorb the information. And it was just so funny because when the guys would go to SEMA every year for a week, which is this big aftermarket convention in Las Vegas, I was the tech guy or the...
Tech support.
I was tech support. Right. So it'd be funny because you'd have like a guy answer the phone and they'd be like tech support. And they'd be like, 1 second. And I'd be like, hello. And they'd be like, tech support. I'm like, this is tech support. Yeah. Your valve's backward. Goodbye. So
wow,
that was fun.
That's great customer service.
It was great. But they appreciated it, you know? Most did not.
To be yelled at and then hung up on.
By a chick telling them that they were Renaissance. You stupid idiot. You've called three times. You have the same fucking problem. Turn the valve around. It's Packard's directional valve. Yeah. So that was kind of like the mind shift that I needed. But anyways, the Tampa Bay Fit Expo is my jam. I like it. I like learning about fitness, the body. It's a fun community to be a part of because
fitness.
I know what you're gonna say. What I like about the fitness community, it's kind of been, and forgive me if you think I'm wrong, but I don't think that I am, but I feel like the fitness community has kind of been co-opted by like the conservatives, because I've yet to meet a guy who has, you know, big muscles, juices all the time, doesn't necessarily have to juice, but they work hard in the gym. Those guys typically are not liberals, is what I'm realizing. And if you think about it,
very few.
And the reason is a lot of the things overlap with conservatism. First, number one, toxic masculinity. Now, tell that to a guy that is a fucking bodybuilder whose livelihood predicates on the fact of having the perfect male physique. That guy doesn't want to hear about toxic masculinity because that...
Whoa, toxic what?
Exactly. So they tend to go a little bit to the right end of the spectrum, which is just interesting for me to see like this overlap of a lot of my interests, and also the fact that they are disciplined. Although they may have not been disenfranchised in the sense of, you know, coming from a marginalized demographic group, they're still like pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of guys and get your ass in the gym. Like it's that same that kind of conservative mentality of you can't just say like, well, oh, why isn't me? It's like, no, you have to. It's discipline.
Well, it's
get in the fucking gym.
It's real hard for someone to be like, the government should build muscles on your body.
Right.
You have to do it yourself.
Right.
Self accountability.
Yes, but it's funny because like you would think that. Like, why would that be related? But it is because when you take accountability and when you feel like you have control over your own destiny, not through people just telling you that you should love your body, but by actually going and improving your body and then getting
doing it
right. And then getting positive affirmation or positive results, or you start pulling hotter chicks or whatever the case may be. It transforms your life. It gives you self-confidence. Now you start applying that way of thinking to everything else, to finances, to whatever. And once you become more successful, the last thing you want to do is say, oh, well, I'm just fucking lucky. It's like, no, I fucking worked hard and I earned it.
Yep.
So I kind of like that aspect of fitness and kind of where it's going, but
I do find though that like the bodybuilding community, or not even bodybuilding, but just, you know, people that
building their bodies, I understand what you're saying.
Not just people who like casually work out or whatever, seem to be more on the right. I think the those that still care about their body and all that on the left tend to be more like runners, swimmers, bikers only, like that don't lift weights.
Huh.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Maybe, I don't know. I would say, I have no data points for this.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a vast generalization, obviously.
I mean, I think that there's a big difference between someone who like casually exercises to just try to stay fit versus someone who is like a competitor, because I think most, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would say most competitors who actually have to like put in a lot of work and really be really disciplined, I don't see how they could lie on the left if they're real competitive athletes.
Yeah.
And especially even my most liberal friends, and this was an interesting assessment I made. I had a friend from college visit. You actually met her at a wedding we mm-hmm. went to recently. Mm-hmm. But she came to visit me about 3 years ago, and she brought a friend. And this girl was a competitive. She was a competitive runner or cyclist or something. And they're both super liberal. Her friend.
Okay, okay.
Not my friend. My friend.
Gotcha.
Cammy doesn't have an athletic bone in her body. She's very fragile. She's a tiny little thing. She'll just fall over. But her friend, who's also quite thin, but you could tell she's like an endurance athlete. I can't remember if it was cyclist or a swimmer or something, but she did something. And I remember how reluctant she was to tell me that she was not okay. And again, they were both from a very liberal community, very left wing, but her friend was very reticent to admit that she was not okay having trans women in women's sports, because she herself had competed, and she's like, there's just no fucking way there's too much of an advantage. Right. It's not fair. And then I love it when people, you know, that don't know me very well, they're like, but I'm think they should live their life, and because as if I'm going to judge them, but they don't know me. So they want to cover their bases. And I go, yeah, I agree with you. It's completely not fair. This has nothing to do with you saying that they shouldn't live the way they want to live.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just saying that if they're trying to compete with natural born women, it's not fair, you know? And I experience this about 3 times a week when I'm at the at Matt Arroyo's Gracie Tampa South gym. Biological differences, but also size differences. But also, here's the thing. I rolled with a guy who was about my size.
Okay.
On Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'm thinking, like, not that it was going to be easy, but I thought, like, okay, it's going to be more of a fair fight, which it kind of was. But even if you're the same, like, weight or within the same weight range as a man, the body composition is just totally different. So, like,
and you're a strong person.
I'm a pretty strong person.
You are.
Like, even a guy who is maybe about 135, 140, small, petite, he just has so much more muscle mass. Given he's not a total fat, like, he's just a normal dude, he just has a completely different body composition than I have, even if we're, like, even if he's, like, 5'4", 140, and I'm, what, 5'3", about 120, it's just totally fucking different. So, you know, and I was just getting my ass handed to me the last 3 days because there were no girls really my size that I was able to roll with. Either the girls were, you know, much larger and outweighed me, or there's one chick that's like, 5'11", 6 foot, like 200 pounds. And she submitted me twice in 5 minutes, and I just got so angry. And I'm like, oh, she's like 90 pounds heavier. Like, you can't get...
She's like almost you, more than you.
You know, if she wants... right. If she wants me to go to the left, like, I can't not go to the... I'm flying to the left. She just kicks me over.
Yeah.
So I actually roll much better with girls, women, about my size. Because then I feel like it's a fair fight. And also, when I fight men, I don't use as much strength as I would with a chick my size, because...
I wonder why that is.
Because it's wasted effort. It's like, why am I even trying? You know, if you and I are fighting, it's like, obviously you're going to win, so why would I even give 100%? Yeah. Whereas when I'm rolling with someone that's my own size, I'm motivated by the fact that there's a potential for me to win.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the difference lies. Let's take a quick break.
Perfect.
We'll be back in a few minutes, and then I'm going to take that call, okay? Don't go anywhere. We're back. That was good timing. Nailed it. 813-90-BUBBA. We're going to be here. Oh, shit. It's already 11:30?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 11:09. I'm like, oh, I'll just wait 1 second, and then 20 minutes just fly by.
And don't
by.
Forget, at noon today is the Krispy Kreme review.
I'm so excited to watch that. And I know someone else who is going to be too, a.k.a. Philip at J.P. Morgan Hummel. Hello, who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Brian from Philly. How you been?
What's up, Brian from Philly?
Brian.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while, man. I'm still listening every day. You guys are killing. I usually don't listen in the morning, but I watch listen to the replays.
Cool.
That works.
I appreciate
it. Laughing my fucking ass off every day to you guys.
Good.
Great.
Thank
That's
you.
What we like to hear.
Blitz, when I stream you guys or just listen to it, is there a service that makes the most revenue for the show? Like, what's best for the show? Sometimes I just use TuneIn.
I mean, probably, like, if you're watching a replay, the one that makes the most sense, probably YouTube.
YouTube?
Yeah, but, whatever.
Doesn't really matter.
As long as you're listening, man, that's all that matters.
All right, but, hey, what's the date for the party?
BARP?
Yeah.
January 14th.
January
14th? 2023. Ew.
I know. That's all insane. Right, well, I'll definitely be there.
Oh, all fantastic. Right,
cool. Blitz, do you have any interest in a Desert Eagle 50 AE for a great price? It only has 11 rounds through it.
What color?
It's that It's that, like, bronze color. It's got the Cerakote coating.
Possibly.
Yeah, I got a shoulder holster, 3 magazines, and 5 boxes, 4 boxes of full ammo, 1 partial box.
Okay.
Magnum Research ammo. But I'll get, if someone from the show wants to buy it, I'll give you a great price.
Email me or whisper me something.
Okay, should I email you on the Bubba show?
Yeah, that works. I'll get it, and I'll reply to you.
All right, guys. Yeah, I'll send you photos and everything.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Brian from Philly.
I'll be back in Florida in 3 weeks for a couple of months. So
awesome.
I'll be around.
Cool.
See ya.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
You'll like shooting that gun.
I'm sure I will.
It's gigantic.
Hello, who's this? Perfect.
Riz isn't shot.
Hello?
So don't...
Hey, guys. This is Gary. How are you?
What's up, Gary?
What's up, Gare Bear?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I can understand why Jim Bro meatheads are conservatives, but why are red states the most unhealthiest states in the country?
Oh, because there's a lot of fat asses, too.
Yeah, imagine. So red states are a bunch of fat asses.
Oh, I think you're missing the point. I didn't say that all people who are red are fit.
Yeah, not by any
means. I said that
means.
not all people, but a good and growing majority of people who do lift, especially, hang to the right.
Yeah.
They're not evangelicals, typically. Yeah, meatheads.
Meatheads.
So that means that doesn't mean that they're synonymous with one another. I didn't say all people who are red are fit. I just said most people who are super fit tend to lie a little on the right side.
No, meatheads, gym bros.
Okay.
Tend to be.
Thank you.
I think fit people are across the board.
But yeah, we specifically were talking about people who lift weights.
Yeah,
I'm serious about lifting weights, not someone who goes to yoga once a week and just lies down, falls asleep.
You don't have to. You can lift weights every single day and not be all roided out.
Sure, but people who lift weights typically are gonna adjust their diet and try to look good because what the fuck is the point, right?
Exactly. But a meathead who drugs their knuckles across the ground. Yeah, I can understand them being conservative.
Sure. But not evangelical. Yeah. It's like a different brand of... I don't even want to call it conservatism. I would call it more just accountability. People who are big on accountability and mm-hmm. who don't adopt the victim mentality. They don't go, I'm small. I'm so terrible.
They think for themselves.
Yes.
Would you say that highly educated people are more liberal or conservative? Through college degrees.
Well,
here's
the thing is here, and I feel like that's kind of a trick question because a lot of these universities are very liberal, so they're obviously going to have a lot of output of people who are educated.
Yep.
I mean, just because they're educated doesn't mean that they're smarter. Trust that. You know, I understand, but I feel
dedicated.
Like that's what the parallel you were trying
dedicated.
To draw.
They put 4, 8, 12 years to get them degrees. They don't just go...
People that are book smart.
Quit at high school. Those people, when you say, I have a bachelor's degree, I look at a person, okay, well, I knew what that took to get that. I have a master's degree, okay, I know what took to get that. That's a lot of dedication and hard effort. I have a JD, oh, okay, I understand what that took. That takes a lot of dedication and effort.
I mean, does it really...
A medical doctor's degree? Oh, yeah, that's...
But there's a lot
of that's a big difference than, like, a bachelor's in communications.
There's a lot of people with degrees that are stupid.
I didn't say that. I said dedication and effort. You're talking about bodybuilders being dedicated and have this effort because they're conservative. I'm saying liberals are dedicated and put a lot of effort into things because they have these advanced degrees. So don't take dedication and effort as just merely, muscles.
I hate to break it to you. It's not that hard to get a degree. You don't need to put that much effort into it. It may take you 4 or 5 years.
That's why everybody has one.
Exactly. That's why everyone has one because they're easy to get. They're very easy to get. You can get a C- average and be like a part-time student for 6 years and get a degree. It's not that hard.
Right,
it's really not that hard.
You can get a lousy job. Most successful
you can be at the front of your class and get an MBA and still have a shitty job. So, I mean, that doesn't really have anything to do with it.
That's not usually the case. That's not usually the case. Those are outliers.
It has been for a lot of people where they're highly educated. And a lot of times the jobs that they're applying for, the people will tell them you're over fucking qualified for this job. We don't want to hire you.
Here's the reason. Because they're educated, but they're stupid.
Oh, okay. Like people who get degrees in art probably aren't going to be the type of people who make billions of dollars. People who get degrees in English aren't going to be either. But you know, money isn't the whole thing.
Okay, well now you're changing the goalposts of everything, right? Now,
I'm
first it was education, now it's money, then it's happy, then it's...
You're saying success. You said success.
What did I say success about? What?
There's a lot of successful people who don't have degrees, but there are many, many more who do.
Okay.
The likelihood that you're going to make four times, if you have a high school degree, you're probably going to make less than a person than with a bachelor's degree. And if you have a bachelor's degree, you're probably going to make less than someone who has a master's degree. And if you have a master's degree, you're probably going to make less than someone who has a doctorate degree. Those are true.
I mean,
facts.
Not necessarily. I don't know exactly the stats, but you can start a business when you're 18. Or you could be on TikTok or whatever, OnlyFans, and you could be you in the top 1%, but all you are is just a glorified whore. So, I mean, like, I don't know exactly the parameters you're putting on this whole argument, but there's so many variables to take into consideration.
I just said, I told you, degree and salary.
Okay.
Degree and income.
Well, I think we're learning more and more that your degrees really aren't panning out the way that we thought they would, right? A lot of people are taking to internet, to starting an OnlyFans, to being a TikTok superstar.
Okay, Donald Trump. People are telling me, I'm hearing people say, a lot of people tell me, what are your stats? Your stats don't prove that. It's still proven that the person with an education will make more money. Period.
No.
All
you have to do to debunk that argument is pull out a few examples of the opposite, right? You're telling me that they will be. They're going to make more money if you do get an education. No, they won't. You need to stop telling people that they're going to be more successful just because they have a college degree. That's not necessarily the case. It was in my parents' generation, but times have changed, Gary. I know you're living in 1985, but it's 2022, buddy, and we got to go. Bye. 813-90 Bubba. Wow, maybe you are rubbing off on me.
And I don't think Gary, here's the fucked up part. I don't think Gary's necessarily wrong. I just think going forward, the way you see it is definitely going to be how it is versus how it is now. Like as of today, I'm sure the higher educated you are, chances are you're going to make more money.
Yeah, but is that really a product of the education, or is that a product of you came from a good home, you have good work ethic, you have people who aren't going to let you fail, that sort of shit.
I don't disagree that the reasoning behind but what he said was...
There's a correlation between these two things.
Sure, and I don't disagree with that.
You could make an argument that there's a correlation, but it doesn't mean causation.
I think on that specific issue, I think he was actually right, but going forward, he might not be. But as of today... Absolutely.
What his argument was that the fact that you are going to be more successful if you have a college degree, but then when we started defining success by money, then he started changing it to saying like, okay, but you know, are those people really going to live the most fulfilling lives? It's like, well, I don't know what you have to define these things very specifically. Are we talking about money? Are we talking about happiness? Are we talking about impact? All these sorts of things. Cause I mean, not that I'm super anti-college, because I honestly had a fucking amazing time at college. I would say it easily some of the best years in my life were attending UC Santa Barbara, just because it was so fun. And there's such a small window of time for you to be an adult infant where you are still almost completely reliant on your parents financially or on loans or whatever. But you are living away from home. You have that independence. You have that freedom. You're learning new shit. It's an incredible time. And I feel so bad telling people not to go after that experience because it's fucking awesome. At least it was for me. And, you know, but in terms of financially and economically, is it the move? No. It's fucking not the move. Unless you want to be a doctor or you want to be a lawyer or you want something that you need certification to practice. But you don't need a certification to practice being at a working for a fucking bank and working your way up there. You know, there's no reason for you to go to college.
And less companies now are requiring it. They recommend it, you know, and it looks good on your resume. No, there's no question. And yes, somebody that has a doctorate, 99% of the time is going to make more money than someone who's got a high school degree, but not always.
Certainly not.
And it's becoming less and less of that. But.
Right. So it's just, it's how are you defining success and then go after that?
Yeah.
Is what I would tell people.
No question.
But, you know, it is a shame because college is a fucking great time if you do it right. If you can keep your academics in order, if you can get involved on campus in some way so you aren't just like, a lost soul among, you know, thousands of undergrads and graduates. You find your niche, you do that, you get involved, and it becomes a small world. Like, even though there were thousands of people on campus, I had my group of friends and, you know, branches of people I knew. I felt very involved. I felt very connected. I learned a shit ton. Do you become more obnoxious when you come back from college? Yes. My parents were very vocal about that. I apparently left for college as a sweet, nice, good girl who was afraid of authority and was afraid to challenge her parents, and then came back from college like that year during Thanksgiving or wherever, and I was just a fucking nightmare, apparently, because I, you
compared
know,
to what you were.
Right. I just thought I knew everything, and I did. No, I didn't. But I just came back with some new ideas. Not liberal indoctrination. Quite the opposite.
Right. But do you think had you left home and went somewhere else and worked and hung out with friends for that same amount of time that it would have been a whole lot different?
Yes.
Really?
No question it would have been different.
Okay.
Yeah, no question. Just because you're being exposed to so many ideas and things you would not have been exposed to, which I think is good for your mind and your brain. Here's the thing. I'm not anti-education. Like, I love being on campus. You know, Bubba was talking about, he's like, school wasn't for me.
Dude, out of anyone, I'm on campus the most.
Yeah. I don't think
second.
The pool does it counts, but I don't think the UT volleyball courts count. But yes,
oh, well, I said because I'm always on campus.
Yeah, we know. But Bubba did say that, you know, school wasn't for him. Being on campus, staying in a classroom, and listening to someone give a lecture—that's where I fucking thrived. Like, I loved that shit. I loved. There's like an essence to academia. That I even felt it briefly. I went on the USF campus, the satellite school in St. Pete.
Okay.
And I went to go see, do you know who Joshua Johnson is?
I do not.
He's the host of 1A for many years and on NPR. I was a big fan.
That's why
of 1A. And it would air live from like 1 to 3 p.m. every day. I'd always listen.
Fucking liberal breeding ground of NPR.
He was great though. He was fucking good at it. You know, it's one of those people like Oprah. You don't agree with maybe everything that they say, but they're fucking good at what they do.
Yeah.
This guy was fucking good at what he did. So he was going to do a live show at the University of South Florida in St. Pete. And I got tickets to it, and I went by myself because I'm a loser. And it was the first time I had been on a college campus since Michigan. And Michigan, the OU where I went, Oakland University, fucking blew. It sucked. It was nothing like UC Santa Barbara. But this was more similar to UC Santa Barbara in terms of like architecture and it being like an outside school. It was beautiful during the day. Like, Santa Barbara is a gorgeous place. So I'm walking through the campus and I'm getting all these feelings of like what academia feels like, to think that like wheels are turning and people are making innovations and you're learning new things you wouldn't be exposed to. Like, I fucking love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's unfortunate that it's been, you know, riddled with this sort of corruption where the tuition costs are rising. student loans are getting forgiven now, which I'm privately celebrating. But, you know, publicly, I understand it's not great for the country. And we're making taxpayers, you know, more accountable for decisions they didn't make often, which is not fair. But nevertheless, school is cool. Okay. I liked school. I did great in school. I loved going to UC Santa Barbara. I moderately liked Oakland University, except where my department was a penitentiary. But the rest of the school was nice. I like that shit. So it's unfortunate for me to tell you not to go. And there's no fucking way in hell I would have a lot of the ideas I have now if I didn't go to school.
Okay.
Because one of the first classes I took was an evolutionary psychology class. And it changed the way I thought about everything in terms of just like the reason for, you know, certain behaviors, the reason for like, why is it the case? You know, because we'd always say like, oh, we're just with him because he's rich. And I didn't realize that was ingrained in my fucking DNA.
Right.
I didn't realize that, you know, I thought guys just liked pretty girls just because. I didn't really think about, oh, it's because their face is symmetrical and symmetry is an indication of health. Like all of these things started to make sense and I started getting really into it. And I completely lost God within the first 6 months and came back very ardent about my new ideas and things I'd been exposed to. Almost, I would almost like, I don't want to say troll my parents, but I'm like, you guys still believe in this fucking bullshit?
Right.
The fuck is wrong with you? Have you really thought about it? It's fucking dumb. And my dad was like, Jesus, all right, don't go to fucking synagogue anymore. And my mom kind of said like the same thing. And then, you know, in due time, my dad started watching Christopher Hitchens. And what I was unable to accomplish, dead Christopher Hitchens was able to accomplish. And now my dad's more fucking crazy atheist than me. 100%.
Bloody Hitchens.
Huh?
Bloody Hitchens.
Yeah. He's, if you haven't checked out Christopher Hitchens or you don't know who he is, he's probably one of the, first of all, his voice is just next level. I mean, it's just the most beautiful baritone British voice. He sounds so posh and so fucking smart with his like cigar and his whiskey, just telling these fuckers to, you know, kick sand or kick rocks. But yeah, I collected a lot of ideas and kind of it taught me how to think. And again, I was very lucky in the sense that I didn't go. I mean, I graduated in 09, so it was, although it was liberal, no one was using the term woke. Yeah. You know, it was like, oh, we're liberal, we're open, we're progressive.
Yeah, progressive.
Right.
Please.
But it wasn't like this. I still remember seeing the campus Republicans on campus and they weren't being harassed. Okay. Like, I remember those days where you could openly say, hey, we're conservative. And we just go, no, thank you. Like, it was polite society. A lot of people weren't, you know, you would see people engaging and stuff, but it wasn't any protesting or crazy or bashing people or calling for people to be canceled and safe spaces. Like, none of that bullshit existed when I was in college. So, again, although it was liberal, it certainly wasn't, like, crazy, crazy woke. But I was always attracted, again, to ideas that I shouldn't be engaging in. And I remember my friends would tell me, you know, my dad was a big fan of Michael Savage and still is.
Okay,
and
yeah.
So Michael Savage wrote a few books, and my dad gave me these books. And I started reading those books, and my friends, one of them who was very politically motivated, politically involved, and still is to this day, very liberal, she's like, why are you reading that book? And da-da-da, and this guy's that, and he has these ideas, and he's a racist, and he's that. And I go, well, let me fucking read it. Like, let me tell you he's a racist. I would like to know. Same with Bill O'Reilly. They hated Bill O'Reilly. He's a racist. He's this. He's that. I go, well, have you listened to him, though? And they go, no. And I go, well, maybe we should listen to him to confirm that he is, in fact, what you're accusing him of being. I was always, you know, in favor of saying, well, if you hate them, you should at least be listening to them.
Yeah.
So you can confirm that your beliefs are correct, because don't you want to be right? You don't want to just dismiss someone you've never heard speak. So I'm like, well, if he's a racist, like, I'd like to listen to his ideas, because then I will know I'm definitely not that. But, you know, Bill O'Reilly was making some great points, and I became exposed to Ron Paul and his ideas on immigration. And I'm like, these are great points. It's really a slap in the face to people who came here legally, like myself. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't just be letting everybody and anybody just walk over the border. That seems rude. So, yes, I'm very grateful for my time at UC Santa Barbara. But again, it's like, is that worth the paying off a student loan debt for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the
Biden will pay it off. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we're told, or at least it's like you're not told. It's like a tacit understanding that you're going, like what Gary said, you're going to get a great paying job once you get your degree with of women's studies.
Yeah.
You're going to get a great paying job, and then you'll be able to pay back all those loans. And that's what I was told. And again, to be fair, I'll take accountability. I could have paid off those loans had I got a real job, but I wanted to tell fart jokes with you guys. So, you know, also me. So I made choices that made me poor but happy. You know, I tried to go into the academic route and I failed because I was like, I hate this. I can't do this. I want to have fun. And so I put myself in a career that's maybe not the most lucrative, especially right now, radio, but I'm having a ball and I'm able to express myself in a way that most people are unable to do.
But you know what helps though? When people like Bub Army Grunt send in some bits.
Like how many?
314 and 214.
Thank you guys very, very much. We'll take a couple calls and we'll get the fuck out of here. Hello, is this?
Hey, what's up? Pedro the pool guy.
What's up, Pedro? How's your hot wife? Dogs?
She just left this morning. Hold on one second.
Fuck you, Gary!
Okay, I'm back.
Thanks.
I gotta tell you, he really pisses me off. How can anyone be so fucking stupid and just close-minded? I mean, I went to FAU. Took me 7 years because I had to travel. I got my bachelor's degree, and they said the same thing to me. You're going to get this great job. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I had to bust my ass, try and make anything. Mm-hmm. Then I started my own business, went broke, finally made money after my first couple of years. And, you know, had I had the degree, maybe I would have made more. Had I not, maybe I would have made more. Who's to say? But I ended up having clients who had zero education and were multimillionaires.
Of course.
They did it all by learning through the hard knocks of life. So,
and also, a lot of employers value experience. So if you have experience because someone's dad gave you a job doing something and you worked your way up, now out of school, right, I have 5 years of experience because I didn't go to college. You went to college for 6 or 7 years. You have zero experience, and people are hiring me over you.
Right. And that's what just happened to me now is that, you know, I'll be 45 this year, and I got a job that I've been trying to get for a year as an adjuster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone finally said, okay, you have no experience in this realm, but why don't you come in for an interview or meet us on Zoom. And they hired me because of my experiences. And, you know, yeah, I've had legal shit happen to me. My dad was an attorney. I had a house bought and sold, and, you know, I've seen and done a lot of shit. And they're like, you know what? You don't have experience, but damn, you've done a lot of shit. So we want you to be a part of the team. I'm like, great. And, you know, I'm working with these kids that are in their 20s, and they're like, wow, you're not afraid of an attorney letter? I'm like, fuck no, everyone has an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, send it.
Mm-hmm. Full send.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's different. And it really has been opening my eyes to, you know, looking back now with how liberal my school was and how stupid it was. And, you know, my kid's now, he's a freshman in high school. I'm like, okay, well, you know, you got to get some kind of education. I don't care if you use it or not, but you have to work. And I don't care what you do, as long as you're happy, you know. But now he's like, oh, I want to be an engineer. Okay, well, that's schooling. And right now you suck at school. So you have to prove everyone wrong that you're not stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's not even just being dumb. It's just that, you know, some people don't really thrive in that environment of schooling.
Some of the dumbest people I knew were great at school.
Right.
Sometimes there's obviously intelligence is compartmentalized, so maybe they're not great problem solvers, but they're good at memorizing facts for a short period of time.
Yeah.
So you can read something, read a few chapters, you know, cram first test, pass the test, ace the test, and then fucking forget everything you know. So
that was me.
Yeah. So I mean, that's one way to be quote good at school. You know,
Sicilian Redneck 300 bits.
Thank you, Sicilian. Thank you.
So, all right, guys. Hey, listen, I'll keep listening. Love you guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you
thanks,
too.
Pedro.
Bye, bye. All right, last call. Who's this?
Hello.
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 Hi.
Oh, wait. Whoa. This is a, I got myself in a vortex here. Hold on. I got to close this out.
Is this Florida Stanley?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Whoa. Hold on. All right. Okay, there we go. Jesus. Holy crap.
Yeah, right.
My phone got itself into a vortex. Yeah. It was still playing the show in the background while I'm on the phone with you.
I wish someone would snipe this fucker.
I wish somebody would, too. Nobody's got the balls. all right. So I'm going to fire off three different subjects.
JLR0018. Gift us some subs.
Thank you.
I'm on McGraw,
514 bets.
All right, Blitz.
All right, go ahead.
So
real quick.
First of all, Gary can go fuck himself.
Sure.
I don't have any type of college degree, and I make more money than he'll ever dream of because I am a smart business owner, not a dumb fucking fake lawyer like he claims to be.
Right. Slash architect, biologist.
Yes. I binge watched Love on the Spectrum. It was uncomfortable and funny all at the same time.
Did you like the make out scene at the end?
Yes, that was pretty funny.
That was epic.
Yeah, also uncomfortable.
Yes.
The third thing is also I just flew into South Carolina to go to a wedding in North Carolina. And Blitz, you have got to look up the airport that I flew into. It's basically the Jasper Mall of South Carolina. It is Greenville Spartanburg International.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the humanity in there.
I'm going this weekend.
Get some content for us.
The only thing that looks like it's been updated since the 60s is the bathrooms.
Amazing.
There wasn't a lazy river in there?
No, there was no lazy river. I had a 3-hour layover, or a 2.5-hour layover in Atlanta, so I caught a good portion of the morning show. Yeah, I heard about the whole lazy river thing. And you make a good point, Blitz, actually, with when they get out of college, they're going to expect all this shit.
Of course.
Nobody's just going to hand it to them. That's a really good point. I didn't even think about it until you said it. And I was like, man, that's true. All these fucking
during these nice kids. Fucking penthouses with a hot tub on the fucking balcony and lazy rivers
and
shit.
Yeah, I can look at the pictures.
They're going
to
expect all that stuff.
I was listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hot tubs on the balconies. Who the fuck lives like that other than Dr. D?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, some
college
people
students.
Do. That's fine, but a student shouldn't fucking live like that.
No, they should be living in, I don't know if you've seen the dorm rooms at, or looked up pictures of the dorm rooms at FGCU down here in Fort Myers, but they look like fucking prison cells.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that either, but like, they don't need to be, you know, super extravagant.
They're with a shared kitchen. That's basically how they live down here at FGCU. Other than that, it was good seeing you guys last weekend at the rally. I had to run from four different cops on the way up there. That was fun.
Oh, nice.
Shit.
Yeah, it was good seeing you.
I found out that Sarasota County Sheriff will stop chasing you once you hit 160 miles an hour.
Oh, God. With only half the feeling in your hands?
Yeah, well, you know, if I could feel my steering wheel, I would have been able to go a little bit faster. But
fantastic. You're crazy.
All right, man.
All right, Florida Stanley, be safe out there.
See ya.
Don't hurt yourself. All right. That pretty much wraps it up. Takes us to just about noon.
Go on YouTube and watch the donut.
It's releasing
ice cream, whatever.
In 1 minute and 2 seconds. So check that out. I was going to say listen live, but you won't be able to listen live. Dan and Bubba will be recording the first ever Make Woke My Bitch. Is that what it's called?
Something like that.
Making Woke My Bitch. Should be interesting. I'll be listening to that on Monday when it drops. Hope you guys have a great weekend. If you are local in the Tampa Bay area and you have any sort of interest in fitness, wellness, nutrition, all that fucking bullshit, we will be
to the gym.
Yes. Well, before you go to the gym, go to the Tampa Bay Fit Expo this weekend. Not a paid endorsement, but Blitz and I will be there. So, you know, come hang is what I'm saying. It's going to be a good time. I went about 3 years ago and it was a lot of fun. You get a lot of freebies, which I'm all about because I'm a Jew and it's fun. So have a great weekend. Blitz, thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on Monday. Goodbye.
See you.